Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
We are going to deal with the requirement for fulfilling purpose. We began touching the beauty of purposeful living on Sunday. It was a bit intense, and so we couldn't travel much. And so tonight, I want us to look at the requirements of fulfilling purpose. Of course, I took out time to show you the benefits of living a purposeful life. I said, number one, it imparts the grace for direction. You can't be walking in the wrong direction and fulfill purpose in the first place. And so when a man begins to live a life of purpose, one thing God ensures happens to him is that he doesn't miss his steps. Psalm 32 verse 8, he says, I will instruct you the way that you should go. Isaiah 30, 21, he says, even when you are in the wrong direction, you will hear a voice behind you telling you this is not the way to go. So when a man begins to fulfill purpose, God begins to channel his jealousy upon that man. And one of the things God will ensure never happens to him is to miss his way. Number two, I said when you start fulfilling purpose, it brings you fulfillment and inner peace. There's a place you get to in your life that no material thing can matter to you anymore. And that's why I told you at the end of your journey on earth, there are two things that will matter. When you look back, whether there is fulfillment for the life you've lived, and when you look forward, whether there's a reward waiting for you in eternity. These are the two things that will matter at the end of your journey. But you don't need to get to the end to discover it. When you start fulfilling purpose, one thing that happens to you is that every day of your life, you will feel fulfilled. Jesus lived a life of purpose, and here's what he said. In John 4:34, it says, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. So purpose was sweet to him like food. He had joy. He had satisfaction. He had fulfillment doing what God wanted him to do. Number three, I say if you are fulfilling purpose, you enjoy divine backing and divine provisions. The Bible speaking now, First Corinthians 2, let me take that, verse 9. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 29. The Bible made two striking statements. It said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. And then he concluded this, in Romans 8:29. Can you show me that scripture? Go to verse 30. Show me the verse that says, all things work together for good. Is it 30 or 32 now? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So the people that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered to the heart of men, what God will do for them, are not just those who love him, but love him and are called according to his purpose. You see that? Verse 28. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. So purpose opens you up to divine backing and divine provisions. Number four, I said purpose brings impact and influence. Impact on others and relevance in your generation. If you study Matthew chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, and Luke chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, the moment the Holy Ghost baptized Jesus and he entered his purpose, began to fulfill his assignment, the Bible said that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. It said, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. It said the people that sat in darkness, they have seen a great light. The moment you begin to walk in purpose, your life becomes impactful. And God puts influence on you. Check Luke 4, verse 14 and 15. He returned in the power of the Spirit, and his fame went abroad. Because you can't be living a purposeful life and not be relevant. So purpose, amongst other things, confers influence and impact. Number 5, I said purpose procures for you eternal reward and legacies. Paul was speaking in 2 Timothy 4. You read from verse 6 to verse 8. I mean, the guy knew when his assignment was over. He knew when he was supposed to depart, and he was ready. And I told you, 6 phrases define the end of a man who has lived a purposeful life. Paul was speaking, he said, "For I am ready." That's number 1. Number 2, he said, "The time of my departure is come. I am ready to be offered up." That means I'm ready to go. I'm finished. Like Jesus on the cross, it is finished. Number 2, my time has come to depart. So they know their time. When purpose is finished, you know that this realm itself becomes noisy. Because nothing gets your attention anymore. He said it's time to depart. Number 3, he said, "I have fought a good fight." If you can't live purposefully and not be aware. He said, "I have finished my course." Number 4. Number 5, "I have kept the faith." I didn't live carelessly. I lived according to divine program. Because the just shall live by faith. And number 6, which is my emphasis, is say, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And the beautiful news here is that Paul added, "Not for me only, but for everyone that loves his appearing." So purpose confers or procures for you eternal reward and eternal legacies. Anybody who lives a purposeful life cannot not receive a reward at the end of time. He said, "God is not unjust to forget your labor of love that you wrought upon the saints." So God rewards service. He rewards purposeful existence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, he said, "We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And what will happen there? He shall give unto us what we, according to how we lived our life while we were in the flesh." So purpose is very important. You must make up your mind to live a purposeful life. There are many more benefits, but I just picked these 5 in order to give context to my teaching. And so having done this, I took out time to explain to us what purpose entails. And I said purpose is too big to be defined just by one sentence. If you begin to study purpose, it's like a spectrum. The way you have white light, and truly when you want to define white light, you'll discover that that white light is not just white. Captured in it are 7 colors. There is red, there is orange, there is yellow, there is green, there is indigo, there is violet, all in one light. It is the spectrum of 7 colors that makes one light. So when we say white light, you need to understand that the definition is deeper. So when you are looking at purpose, purpose is deep, and we must understand it from the context of a spectrum. And so I took out time to give us 6 basic definitions that collate or aggregate to give us an understanding, full scope understanding of what purpose is. And I said, number 1, purpose is divine intent or divine intention for design. So when you are speaking purpose, you are saying what God had in mind that necessitated our creation. And so I said, on the strength of this understanding, everybody has 3 assignments. Number 1, you must discover why you were created. Number 2, when you discover why you were created, you must live for it. And number 3, you don't just live for it. If you have to die, you die for it. Because that's what necessitated your creation in the first place. So the first understanding of the subject of purpose is divine intention for creation. And if you read Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew thee. Before you were born, I set you apart for you to be a prophet." So this is something that predates you. It is the motive in the heart of God that necessitated your creation. Psalm 139 verse 16, the psalm is speaking. It says, all the days, all my days were ordained and written before I came. So you are not an accident. It should give you an assurance, a confidence that you didn't just appear here. Before you came, God sat down and planned your existence. This is one of the things that will give you courage to confront life. I am not an accident. God planned for me. And if God planned for me, it means God will look out for me. Now, you think about yourself. As human as you are, will you create something and allow that thing to just be destroyed? You will do everything possible to make that thing work. Because that thing will become the object of your delight. What makes a creator happy is to see that the purpose for which a design was made is fulfilled. So God will do everything possible for you to fulfill purpose, because you are a product of His intention. Number two, I say purpose is calling or assignment. So beyond intention, you have to also isolate that assignment, because you were created with an intention, and that intention actually is your assignment. So when we are defining purpose, we can define it from the perspective of divine intention. We can also define it from the perspective of your assignment or your responsibility on the face of the earth. If you study Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, the Bible says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We were created for good works. So there is an assignment. That assignment is the substance of divine intention. If you study 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, here's what the Bible says. It says, He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, according, not according to our work, but according to His own purpose and grace. So your calling is according to His purpose. Your assignment is according to His purpose. So you can define purpose from the perspective of divine assignment for your life. Glory to God. So when a man understands why he's born, he has taken the first step into the journey of purpose. Then when he goes further to begin to do that which necessitated his creation, he has taken the second step in the journey of purpose. You must live out your assignment. And I told you, working, serving, or living your assignment is not toiling. There's a difference between work and toil. Toiling is a labor that does not have divine sufficiency. And toiling is a labor that does not generate commensurate results. Why? Because when we fell, creation rebelled against us. So when you walk, you don't have the results commensurate to your walk. That's why in Africa here, they say you walk like an elephant, you eat like an ant. You put so much into it, but you don't get the feedback, because creation is rebelling. And then you put too much energy to generate that little result because you are not empowered. That's what toiling is. But what God gave us originally was work. When He created Adam, the word work is the word ergon. And what it means is to become. So when God gave you opportunity to work, God was actually giving you a platform for transformation. Because as you are working, you are learning. As you are working, you are impacting your world. You are becoming a better version of yourself. And within the context of work, there is divine enablement. That's why Paul said, it is God that worketh in us. Philippians 2:13, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And within the context of work, even the environment where you are working is conditioned to favor you. It said the lines fall unto you in pleasant places, because you have a goodly heritage. So that is what God called us to do. And anybody who is in His assignment will enjoy these two things. Number one, the realm will respond to you. And number two, there will be divine enablement to get you to do that which God has given you. So the second thing that characterizes purpose is your assignment. The third thing I said that constitutes purpose is understanding of your uniqueness and your design. You can never fulfill purpose until you understand your design and you master how to utilize your design. Imagine if I carried a handkerchief and I want to nail something with it. The design, the nature does not support impact. The handkerchief is designed soft because it's meant to remove sweat. Now, also imagine if I carry a hammer and I'm trying to clean sweat. The hammer does not have the capacity to do that because it's not designed to support that work. But if I carry a hammer to nail something, you will see the excellency and the beauty of the hammer. So the design and the uniqueness of that equipment is also tied to his purpose. So if you want to find your purpose, you can go praying, studying, and finding what was God's plan for your creation. If you want to walk in purpose, you can go praying and finding out your assignment. And also, if you want to walk in purpose, you can pay attention to your design. There is a language your design speaks that reveals your purpose. Because the third part or aspect of purpose has to do with your design. Number four, I said your purpose also constitutes impact on others. Whatever you are doing that is not impacting people, that is just you and your family, that is not purpose. Because there are many persons that their general pursuit in life is to get all they can and to can it for themselves. So the philosophy of the world is get all you can and can all you get. It's for me, I, and myself. And people pride themselves in these phrases, including Christians. And that's why their life is so small. Imagine how much do you need for food, for house, for clothes. You have already reduced your potential. When God created Adam, he gave him authority over the whole world. That means your life is beyond you. You came here to cover a wide range of possibilities. See the way Jesus prayed. Our Father. He didn't even go to God as his Father. Our. There was a consciousness that it's about others. Now, study Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The moment Jesus was anointed for destiny, it wasn't the kind of declaration that some of us will make. My car has come. My breakthrough has come. My lifting has come. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Because God is interested in your blessing. You are part of those God wants to bless. But look at how a purposeful person speaks. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Is it for me? He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. If it is purpose you are living, it will change others. It will impact others so much that they will find meaning because you showed up. You go check your Bible. All the men that were worthy of being captured, how many things did they do for themselves? From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Paul to Peter. Go read your Bible. It was all about what they did for God and their generation. In fact, when the life of David was summarized, the Bible said when David had served God, had served his generation according to the will of God, he said he rested with his fathers. He served his generation according to the will of God, he rested with his fathers. It's always all about God and others first. Then you will discover that as you are doing it for God and for others, your own is now included. Because your own is too insignificant to be an issue. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, all that others seek shall be added to you. So when you are living a purposeful life, you give meaning to other people's existence. When you are living a purposeful life, your life impacts others in a very tremendous manner. In fact, many people can't recover. They keep telling God they want to thank you even in heaven. And you may never get to meet them in person. This is why I need to show you the forces that support purpose. Because the level of impact you want to make, or God will have you make, you can't meet half of the people. You can't meet them. Because your impact will... Imagine if you are touching 100 nations. Even if nations were to say thank you, the number is already too much. But for you to move at that frequency, there are structures that must be put in place. But let's look into the subject matter a bit deeper. Number five, I said a man who is living in purpose or purposeful life, number five, lives for eternity. Not for now. If everything about you is today, 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 you don't know purpose. When you start living a purposeful life, it's about eternity, not today. Look at the way Paul puts it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18. He said, our light afflictions are but for a moment, but they work for us an exceeding weight of glory. Do you know what this guy called light affliction? He fell into the ocean in a shipwreck. A day and a half, he was beneath the water. Paul said three times he was flogged more than 39 strokes. He had been in prison more than twice. This is the guy. This is what Paul is calling light affliction. And all of these things he suffered. He wasn't going for a job interview. All of these things he suffered. He wasn't going to buy a land to build for himself and his children. He was going to preach the name of Christ and to bring salvation to others. He landed him in prison. He landed him under very heavy whips. He landed him under in a shipwreck. And Paul had the audacity. He called that a light affliction. Because his focus was eternity. No wonder when the race came to an end, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's a man of purpose. There are some of us, we say we are living a life of purpose. Somebody offends you, you say, you won't see me again. You are a baby. You are a baby. You are part of evangelism unit. They are going out for evangelism. Somebody offended you. Say, is it because I'm here? Is it because I gave my time? And then the next time they are going for evangelism, you are angry. Waiting for pastor to call you and say, we didn't see you again. What happened? Oh, sorry now. Why are you doing like this? We will get you a Pampers first. What you need now is Pampers and feed the bottle. They get offended. You are the lead vocalist. Because you worshiped the other day, two people fell down. You have become a star. Now you came. That miracle service. You were supposed to lead the song. They now told somebody else. They are beginning to take you for granted. So you won't sing again. Oh my God. I read books of the Father. I listened to messages. In their day, the way they punish people is to take responsibility from them. And you will see people praying to God to forgive them, not to allow this opportunity to pass them by. Doing everything possible to serve. In the days of the fathers, when they give somebody a job, the first day he enters that office, he lifts his hand up and says, Lord, this is your platform. Use it for your glory. And if all he gains from that position is to leave a testimony of integrity, it's enough. But today, the moment they give somebody a job, he comes. How much is in that account? Bring 2 million from there first and do housewarming party. Meanwhile, that money is not allocated. So he begins with corruption. Because we don't focus on eternity. We think about now. Car, house, Bahamas, I need to go for holiday. But it not be wood. I'm messing things up for Jesus. Thank God he is all wise. We would have wrecked what he's building. You want to be purposeful, your focus is eternity. So when we speak purpose, number one, we are talking divine intention for creation. When we speak purpose, number two, we are talking divine assignment or calling on earth. When we speak purpose, number three, we are talking understanding uniqueness of design for kingdom service and divine responsibility. When we speak purpose, number four, we are talking about impact on others so that God takes the glory. And when we speak purpose, number five, we are talking living for eternity, consciousness of eternity. The reason for which Paul will say, I die daily. It's not about now. Thank God for all the blessings I enjoy now. But in case I have to suffer now, that in itself is a blessing. Because it prepares for me a throne in the world to come. I've told you many times, The finished works of Christ gives you salvation. But it's your works that give you reward. That's why the Bible calls Jesus your foundation. And if you check at the end of time, it is your work that is tried, not the foundation. The foundation has already been tried on Calvary. The foundation has been perfected. It's your work that will be tried. Because you will not be rewarded because of foundation. You will be rewarded because of your works. So if you live today and forget eternity, you have just wasted your existence. This is what purpose entails. And every Christian must be built, trained, and given this consciousness. So that as he walks like this, even while he's on earth, he will become like an immortal. His life will be eternal in implication. Isaiah 60 verse 15, the Bible said, you were a desolate land. It said, no man walked through you. He said, but I have made you an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. This is what purpose entails. This is what it's about. And blessed are thou if you know these things. I gave you two examples on Sunday, but I don't have time to go that far. If you want it, go and get the message and you will get it. Tonight, my focus is on requirement for fulfilling purpose or maximizing purpose. Everybody you see who is walking victoriously and gloriously in purpose, there are weapons in their quiver. They are not doing it by luck. They are not doing it by chance. A man of God once told us, he said, if you remove him from here to an entirely new location and he leaves everything he's doing, he said, give him a few months, he will replicate it. So this is not an apprentice. What is happening here, there are systems powering it. And those who understand purpose, they know how to maximize this system so that purpose is on the cruise mode. And so this evening, we are going to look at the requirements for fulfilling purpose. And like I mentioned on Sunday, there are two dimensions to the requirements. There are intrinsic requirements, which are internal requirements, and there are extrinsic requirements, which are external requirements. You must understand all of them, develop them, maximize them to fulfill purpose. Some of you listening to me now, you have had visions where stadiums are packed, you are preaching. But it has remained in the dream world. So you have isolated purpose. You know it, but you are not living in it. Some of you listening to me, you have seen yourself sit in a position of authority in government. And you are enacting policies that advance God's kingdom, advance God's agenda. But as we are speaking, you are looking for a job. Some of you listening to me here, you have seen yourself sit on tables with global economic giants dictating the economic shape and texture of territories, of nations. But as we talk now, if you eat twice a day, that day is a miracle. What is wrong? I will show you. You don't enter your purpose by luck. It is not a gift. To enter your purpose, there are structures that must be built. The Bible says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, if only then he will appear in his glory. So if you don't build these structures, you will never enter purpose. And there are some of them that God bring your way. If you don't know how to maximize them, you will never enter purpose. And so because of our time, I will only list them, mention a few things, and allow you to go and study. Because what I'm giving you tonight is an outline. Take your time with prayer, with fasting. Gather messages around this subject and study deep into them until you become a master in some of these areas. It's not a subject that can be exhausted in one teaching, but I give it to you as an outline. Develop them in prayer, in fasting. Look for those who are masters in specific areas. Listen to them. Some of the things I'll mention to you here, there are ministers of God and there are Christians in different spheres of human endeavor that are experts in the subject. Go, listen to what they have to say. Form notes, take instructions, practice them. If you will fulfill purpose, you will need these installations. So let's begin quickly with the intrinsic qualities.
You must develop them inside you if you will fulfill purpose. Number one is capacity for intimacy. Believe me, if it is purpose given to you by God, if you don't have a relationship with God, you will never fulfill it. There are many other things you may be able to do apart from God and do successfully, like singing. You can do it successfully apart from God. But if it is purpose, if you will fulfill destiny, you must have a close relationship with the one who intended it and handed it over to you. Otherwise, you will never make it. You read the Bible, you find it littered that it takes deep communion with God to be able to access the secrets and the empowerments for destiny. Look at Jesus. Acts 10:38. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, look at what I'm quoting. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing what? Good. Healing all that were oppressed of what? The devil. Why? Because God was with him. You lose intimacy, you lose it all. Jesus was speaking, I think that's John 15 verse 5. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, without me you can do nothing. Nothing. You can't do nothing. Have you seen a branch that is producing fruits hanging in the air? Every fruitful branch is connected to a stem that is connected to a root. No branch produces fruit hanging. Now, the branch has the capacity to produce fruit if and only if it is connected to the stem. Disconnect the branch, you will see the helplessness of the branch. So you want to fulfill purpose, you must build intimacy. And in order not to leave you hanging, I give you five quick ways of developing intimacy with God. Number one, put away distraction. If you allow distraction, it will eat the energy of your soul. I think that's 1 Peter 2:11 now. It says, flee youthful lust that wages war against your soul. Flee. Is that the scripture? Flee. Abstain from every fleshly lust that wages war. Now, this is the lowest level of failure. But unfortunately, millions are here. Do you know some people can't fulfill purpose because of Instagram? They are not doing business on Instagram. They are not projecting any message on Instagram. What are they doing on Instagram? They are uploading pictures with new clothes and they are watching 10,000 other people who are uploading. And they are turning their head. They lie on the bed. They put a pillow. And their ear is paining them. They turn to the other side. They bring the extension this way, connect the charger, and start watching here. After 7 hours, they feel headache. They stand up. They go and take snack. They come back and lie on the couch. After 6 months, even their book to read to pass exam, they can't read again. Then when they carry the book, they are reading. It looks like they are shouting inside their head. Even the Bible, they read 4 verses, they come back. What did I read? They read it again. They come back. Nothing can stay. There is war against their members. Their soul has been scattered. Those days in school, all these our friends that were going out every Friday, they are in the nightclub, they are playing games, they are there. Every distraction you know is like they are the champions. They have a seat in the hall of distraction. That's their own hall of fame. When exam now comes, you will now summarize, because if you are connected, you will suspect where exam questions will come from. You will now summarize your note and give them. They will look at it. Boys' law, chat law. After a while, they will fold it, put in their belt. I enter exam with it. They used to call it bullet. One page. 8, they are grieving students from the university because they can't cram one page of what they wrote. Somebody will carry his textbook, write something on a piece of paper. He can't memorize that piece of paper. For 2 nights, he will carry it to the exam and he will be opening to copy. He can't even look at it and remember it, a whole, maybe a chapter. He will be rewriting line by line and they will catch them. Some will chew it. They will chew and swallow. They will hold them on the neck like this. They will chew it. Because if they have that exhibit, university has finished. To show you how their brain has knocked. They can't memorize. How you are in 400 level. You can't memorize one page. Because distraction wages war against the soul. If you want to build intimacy with God, you will put away distraction. Because this thing is a journey. It's a journey that requires all your attention. You can't walk with a spirit and accommodate things that the spirit does not allow. No, it doesn't work like that. Spirits are regimented beings. If you want to get their attention, you must align to the government of their presence. That's how it works. Then number two, to build intimacy, you have to ask God to quicken you. So after you have put away distraction, then you ask him to quicken you. Because this is beyond their philosophy. This is beyond biochemistry. This one is a spirit. He's the one to bring you to his realm. And so Psalm 80 verse 18 says, so shall we call upon thy name. Quicken us, O God. If you are not quickened, you can't walk with the spirit. So the second thing is what? Ask him to quicken you. The third thing is to renew your mind. Because if your mind is not renewed, your mind will draw you out. In Romans 8, 5 and 6, it said, they that are in the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. It said, they that are in the spirit, they mind the things of the spirit. And it said, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So you can't draw from God's realm. You can't stay connected until something happens to your mind. That's why it said, be a renewed in your mind, then you can isolate. Romans 12 verse 2, God's acceptable will, God's good will, and God's perfect will. So a man who will build intimacy will keep his mind renewed. That's why we advise you, don't allow junk into your mind. They carry your phone, you are singing a song that came from the gutters of demonic realm, and then you are hoping that you walk with God. No sir. The mind will be renewed for you to sustain the energy of intimacy. Don't allow things enter your mind. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. It says, out of it are the issues of life. Those who have a relationship with God, they secure their mind. I told you my story. I went to Dubai. I thought they say it's a Muslim nation, that they wear hijab all the time. I didn't know that Dubai is the most multiracial nation in the world. There are more than 180 nationalities in Dubai. When you come and you have money, they act as if they are not seeing you. But when you break the law, they will bring the Quran. That's how the thing works there. So I was in a hotel, they call it Fife. And this Fife is in the Palm Beach that they call Palm Jumeirah. If it is 4 o'clock, go and sit on your altar and start praying. If you come down, you will see things. Some pictures are arrows. Oh, you don't know. When they say no weapon, fashion. Do you? Some of the fashion designers, they are demon inspired. You will see some strange creatures come out. The skin is like Santana leather. Then the clothes is designed in such a way that as they are moving, different parts of their body is coming out at different frequencies, and then their light colors, rays of light, blue, purple.
you will understand what it means to live under the ocean. When they talk about marine spirit. It was in Dubai that I saw that mammon was stronger than religion. Because of money, pleasure and wealth, they shut down religion. I used to think the religious spirit was the strongest. I realized that the spirit of pleasure, the lust for money and pleasure, is the strongest spirit. No wonder the Bible compares mammon with God. I stepped down innocently because I looked through my window. I was seeing all kinds of vehicles. I said, where is this? When I stepped down, as I looked up, I now remember what Proverbs said, that I saw a young man through my window who is void of understanding. He went the way of the harlot. So I told myself, I will not go that way. I went back up. My friends that went with me, they said, you know they come out. I said, no, I'm not a tourist. I came here to preach the gospel. I will preach and go. Strange creature. Meanwhile, some people, their phone is loaded with pornography. They watch it every day for 5 hours. How can that kind of person speak in tongues for 10 minutes? How can he read 2 verses of the Bible before sleeping? The spirit is weak because he has empowered the flesh. You want intimacy? You must develop and renew your mind. Number 4, you want intimacy? You must be swift to respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The promptings. There are times when you just wake up in the morning and you stand fast for 7 days. It was not in your program. You are being summoned. That's how summons happen in the spirit. A window opens and it comes like an instruction. If you know how these things are powerful, you will watch out for them. Summons. It will come like a body. It will come like an instruction. It will come like a direction. When you now take one step, you know, portals are different from doors. When a portal opens and closes, if it opens again and you enter, it will be 2 different destinations. If a portal opens here and closes, and I enter, and it opens again and closes, and Apostle Daniel enters, you may assume we are going to the same place. No, sir. We will go to different locations and different timelines. It looks like a door. Me who entered, I may go to 50 years in the past. And the second person who entered may go to 80 years in the future. We are going to different destinations. That's the first thing about portals. They are transport systems to locations and timelines. And that's not all. Number 2, when a portal opens, if you put your head inside, it will suck you. It will suck you because it's a vehicle. That's why when the Holy Ghost gives you a prompting, it's a portal. You feel like fasting for 3 days. You now started. The next time you are wondering, when will this fast end? You are on 48 days. Even you know that if they told you to fast for 40 days, you won't agree. But what you felt was fast today. Today in the realm, you are going to 80 days. That's what you didn't know. It will suck you in. Eventually, your life will change. Because where it will take you to, you will come back with the witness of that realm. That's why when Moses entered, he returned. He didn't know something had happened to him. His face was shining like the sun. They had to cover him with veils. What is going on? I just went to the mountain. They said, sir, you have been there for 40 days. I've not had food. Why was I not hungry? You are talked of, sir. Your face is shining like the sun. We can't look at you. It's a portal. Those who have strong relationship with God, that's how they move, prompting. So Romans 8:14 said, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. It's a drawing. It pulls you. If you yield, then it becomes stronger. If you yield, it becomes stronger. If you yield, when God drew me to fast, I thought it was 1 week. I ended up fasting morning to evening for 5 years. There were a few days that I skipped. And this is not discipline. I just don't feel like eating. It was a burden on my heart. You would think it's a short journey. And many people who heard this testimony,
Some of them, I met a lawyer in Scotland. He was on over 120 days. The thing hit him. If I take a census of those who listen to me and fast, the percentage is more than 40% of my listeners. Because it has become part of my witness to a generation. You can't hear me and not be triggered to fast. I didn't know it was a portal. And it built intimacy. It was in that journey that the appetite for football died. I used to be a strong Arsenal fan. You can't beat us with records, sir. They called me Skywide. I will go to 1970 and bring records. So we used to, you know, those days there was no, we didn't have phones everywhere. We will go to Cyber Cafe and print records, read them, meditate. When we enter the football match, we sit in front and cross our legs. When you want to talk, we say in 1948, in 1985, in 1996. When we call dates, people start clapping. The records, they just come. That appetite died. It died. The thing killed it. And different dimensions of intimacy was awoken. That's how you grow, sir. And then finally, you want to build intimacy, surround yourself with people that spur you to do spiritual things. Hebrews 12:24. The Bible said to spur one another unto good works. And it said, despite not the gathering together of the saints. Hebrews 10:24-25. Despise not the gathering of the saints. It stirs intimacy. You know why most of you don't have hunger for God? 90% of your friends, they talk about secular musicians, they talk about job. Job is good, but that's all you discuss. So when you finish, you are tired. Come to our cycle. When we gist with you for 30 minutes, you will go on 8 days retreat. You can't be normal, sir. The things we talk about will choke. It will stir hunger in your spirit. Glory to God. So number one, force that energizes purpose within you is intimacy. Number two is clarity and direction. When God shows you, your purpose is to glorify me through singing. Your purpose is to preach the gospel as an evangelist. Your purpose is to lead your generation in government. Your purpose is to be an economic giant so that you can facilitate kingdom agenda. You will need direction. Because every decision you make either takes you to or away from your purpose. That's why when it has to do with purpose, you can't have the luxury of assumptions, of presuppositions. Those things don't happen. I taught you before, if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. So anybody who wants to fulfill purpose must prioritize direction. And if you want to secure direction, there are biblical ways of securing direction. Number one, seek in prayer. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, I will stand upon my watch to see what he will say to me. And he said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he might run that reach it. This is what we call prayer of inquiry. In prayer of inquiry, you don't talk much, you listen much. That prayer is made up of two components: questions and silence. When you ask a question, you silence your spirit and wait for the master to speak. It's not all prayer that is ta-ka-ba-ka-ba. See, that's childishness most of the time. You tell some people pray every time they go to prayer. Here. You know, in the realm, when you go higher, it becomes silent. Those of you who journey, you will know. You know, height in the spirit is closeness to God. You ask yourself, does your ear shout for your nose to hear? The higher you go, the more silent. That's why in the realm, you'll discover that a point comes. Communication is no more verbal, it's thought. An angel stands before you. You don't speak the same language, but you can enter the same frequency. So what it does is that it jacks up your consciousness. And so what is thinking, you are hearing. There are realms where we don't shout. There are realms where we commune. When Jesus, Moses, and Elijah was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Did you hear anybody talk to the other person? But the Bible said they were telling him what he will do in Jerusalem. But it was not verbal. The only person who spoke with his mouth there was wrong. His name is Peter. Master, let's build a tent here. Keep quiet. This is not tent. These are dispensations. The law and the prophets are submitting to the kingdom. We are not talking tent. We are talking dispensational alignment. Are you following? So if you want to isolate, and I'm not saying praying long and praying with intensity is wrong. The problem with believers is that when you say anything that satisfies their laziness, they say, tell them. So people who always lie down and sleep on the prayer altar, they will say, thank God. I used to tell them. It's not all this gymnastic. Relax. There are also realms that if you enter, there are things that will touch you. You must respond. It said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and his train filled the temple. What did they do there? They took a coal of fire and touched him. If fire touch you, you can't sit like this. No, you don't sit like this under fire. When fire touches you, they'll Kakora fire, Mariata, Fizo. So, don't take me, understand my emphasis, right? If you want direction, what do? Prayer of inquiry. Number two, if you want direction, acknowledge him as your source. Every time men stand before the Lord and call him their source, he leads them. Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Who is he? The Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. What does he do? He leadeth me. So you want direction, acknowledge him. Thank God for all of your permutations, your strategies. They are beautiful. You are not dull. But matters of destiny have no room for creativity. You need the one who drew the line to lead you in the path that you should go. Jesus said, the works that I do is what I see my Father do that I do. In the kingdom, we must be led. But it won't happen until you acknowledge him. My sheep heareth my voice. That means you must recognize him as your shepherd. And they obey. Number three, you want direction. Learn to develop focus. Some of us, we have our eyes in too many places at the same time. That's why it's difficult to get us on the path. The Bible speaking, in Luke 11:34, it says, if your eyes be single, he said, your whole body will be full of light. Focused people don't struggle with direction. Those who acknowledge him don't struggle with direction. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. So people who acknowledge him don't lack direction. And people who seek him in prayer to lead them, they also don't lack direction. The second thing that substantiates your purpose is clarity and direction. The third thing that energizes, empowers, or constitutes a requirement for your purpose is discipline and diligence. Lazy and undisciplined people, people who are not consistent in their character, they can never fulfill purpose. Because this thing is not a one-day strike, it's a journey of life. So it will take inner capacity to cause yourself to do what you must do and to keep doing it with all your heart to be able to fulfill purpose. Discipline. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, I beat my body. I bring it under subjection so that myself, after having led others, I shouldn't be a castaway. You don't fulfill purpose if you can't beat yourself. If you can't bring yourself under subjection. You must learn to master your flesh as God helps you. Take your time. Don't live your life carelessly. Some people are too spontaneous for destiny. That's why they don't even have the credibility to be supported. When they talk, those who should support them will say, well, let's see if he will do it for 2 years. Because in the last 6 months, he has said 17. We don't know which one we should support. You need some level of consistency to be able to talk purpose and to fulfill purpose. Number four, you want to fulfill purpose, you need patience and endurance. Matters of purpose, most of them don't happen quick because they are issues of entrustment. They are not gifts. A gift can be given to you the first day God met you, but an entrustment will require credibility in character. That is why even when God ordains you, he will give you time to prove that you are ready. He said the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant. Galatians 4:1. Even though he's Lord of all, the Father will place him under tutors and governors. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:36, it said you need to persevere to be able to receive the promise. Galatians 6:9, it said don't be weary in well-doing. In due time, it will speak. In due time, you will receive it. It takes patience. And as I show you external factors, I will also talk to you about times and seasons. There are certain aspects of your purpose that if you like fact, if you like do everything right, it won't happen until the season for it manifests. So those who don't have patience, things that are wired into seasons, they move ahead of time and mess it up. Kenneth Hagin taught us many years ago, he said, it's better to be late than to go too fast and mess it up. But it will take inherent capacity in the area of patience. Have you not seen people? They got their first 1 million. They still have need of 3 years mentorship. They rise up and say, no now. What do you mean? Is it not buying and selling? It's when they now enter the market, they will discover this thing is beyond buying and selling. It's beyond buying and selling. There are other things that they've not learned. There are people that they just started climbing the podium in church and speaking in tongues. After 1 month, they are praying in tongues. Somebody fell down. As the time comes, Lord. So what you have been saying, this is the time. They came the other time. They are praying. A prophetic word came. I don't know. There's somebody towards my left. It's like you have a tumor, it has gone. Somebody shouted, hey, hey, I'm healed. When they finish that day, as they are leaving the altar, they will see them do like this. And they will walk like holy men. You will think it's humility. They lie. Pride has entered their head. The next thing, they will look at their leader. I don't remember when last you prayed and the anointing moved. So what exactly are we saying? What's your rank in the spirit? Guess what? After 6 months, the Eternal Father Deliverance Ministry International, and you see your girl like this. Your girl is not like this. When he now enters, then he won't know what to do about territorial spirit. He preaches, a goiter will come out. He prays, people fall under the anointing. There's no money for house rent. Church rent, no money. Guess what? They now start sending texts to everybody on earth that their name is in their phone book. If God is laying it in your heart, God is not laying anything. If he's laying it, you are not the one to tell me. Unless you want to lay. So they harass everybody and make a mess of the name of God. If God is laying it in your heart, we have a camp meeting. I don't know, but all we need now is light, money for light. We need a hall. If you don't have hall, there are trees. There are natural halls. It's part of your process. They don't know. No patience. Do you know how many prophets gave me words of knowledge years before the time I went out? In fact, sometimes it's some of your friends who are prophets that cause problems for you. I was praying yesterday and God told me that you are taking Europe. You are taking. When I was praying yesterday, I saw Italy. This is the confirmation. It's not confirmation that you should start now. If it's your calling, there are 5 requirements you must meet. 5. Number 1. I will deviate. You guys want me to deviate. In Mark 3:14, he said he called them to be with him so that he might send them. That you are called does not mean you are sent. Before you are sent, there are 5 basic requirements. Number 1, the vision must be clear. Write the vision. Make it plain upon tables. That in my run that reads it. Somebody say he's called. Meanwhile, they are helping him edit his vision. He will write his vision and submit. Let them help him edit. No. That editing needs 3 years. God needs to train you. It's not a man that edits your vision. It must be clearly written. Otherwise, both you and people can't run with it. Number 2. If you are sent, there will be definite empowerment. When he called Moses to Horeb and said, go to Egypt. He said, when I go, how will they know that you sent me? And God started giving him empowerment. Drop your rod. He dropped it. He became a serpent. Pick it by the tail. You don't, it's not a talk. Tarry until you are endued with power. Number 3. If you are called and sent, there must be a clear-cut strategy. That's why you see people photocopy everything from one ministry and doing it. Because they didn't wait for their own strategy to be given to them. They were sprinkling water on people. John came baptizing. That's why they called him John the Baptist. And when they asked him, he said, the one that sent me, the same said unto me, upon whom the Spirit descends, he is the chosen one. So the baptism was a strategy to identify the Messiah. The moment he did it, he said, I must decrease and he must increase. My ministry is over. He knew. Ministry is not copy and paste. You can learn from others. You can be inspired. There are principles that never change. But your ministry must have its unique flair. You don't have a strategy. You don't have a mandate. You don't have an empowerment. And you say, God has sent you. Number 4, there must be a location. He told Moses, go to Egypt. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. It's not, okay, the way things are economically now, this place will be better. Or you do tinini tanana, Lagos, Port Harcourt, Abuja, Paul. They will cut your head. You think John just went to Jordan? You think Jesus just went to Galilee? That it might be written, that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Look at specificity. You don't jump everywhere. Even those that have global ministry, you begin from Jerusalem, to Samaria, to Judea, before the uttermost part of the earth. They are just looking for greener pasture. You will end like Lot. When you lose everything, your wife will be... Well, your wife now is not a human being. Let me not... Nobody... Whatever you love so much, you become a pillar of salt. You will come out empty-handed. And the end of your life will be full of lamentations. There must be location. And then, last, there must be a time for commissioning. When the time comes, God will tell you. Other believers will confirm it. That is time. Because there will be maturity to handle your vessel and to wield your sword. It will be clear. And when that time comes, even if they don't want you to go, heaven will push you to go. And you will have the backing of God. Don't make the mistake. Do you see the problem? Where are we now? You people want to hear everything at the same time. Patience and what? Endurance. Number 5, wisdom and counsel. If you don't have wisdom
And if nobody can counsel you, you won't fulfill purpose. Some have wisdom, they don't have counsel. Some have counsel, they don't have wisdom. So you advise them, when they now do it, is opposite of what they are told. As we are here, there are fathers of faith. Some I call and some call me. You preached like this yesterday. That is the word of God. Don't be afraid of speaking the truth. That's your calling. But if you speak like this, it will affect this kind of people and this kind of people. So say it, but apply wisdom. I'll take you to the altar. Lord, hear what he said. Oh. Is it something I should do? Sometimes you feel peace. Another time you say, you will hear and hear, you won't hear anything. So you put that one on the shelf. And then among us here, there are those who are fathers. They did ministry before I was born. Once in a while, I call them, and then we book appointment, they stroll to the office, and they will sit down. You are moving in power. You are talking with utterance. They will now x-ray the work and point here, point here, point here, point here. Why did I see it? Because you don't have the advantage of spiritual experience. You need counsel, sir. And you need wisdom. When it has to do with wisdom, two things. Number one, ask God for it. James 1:5, he says, whoever lacks wisdom shall ask of him that giveth what? Liberally and unbraided not. Number two, if you lack wisdom, learn and grow in the fear of God. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Number three, if you lack wisdom, build relationship with wise men. The Bible said, him that walketh with the wise, himself is wise. Iron sharpeneth iron, as a man the countenance of his friend. You don't have wisdom and counsel, you will fail in purpose. Number six, you need spiritual sensitivity and obedience to the Holy Ghost. People who fulfill purpose are sensitive. That's why you don't want anything to affect your antenna. I quoted for you already Isaiah 30:21. It says you are in the wrong direction. So it's possible to have wisdom and counsel and still err from time to time. But if you are sensitive, it will be an insurance. He said, you will hear a voice behind you telling you to turn. For that's not the way to go. That's why those who eventually mature as sons administering God's kingdom, the Bible said they are led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14. You need sensitivity. If you want to fulfill purpose, build it. For some of you, it is stretched fast that enhances your sensitivity. You started fasting for 21 days. Then a point comes. You lie down. Somebody's name comes to your mind. As you stand up, 3 minutes later, he's calling you. You feel somebody's at the door. And somebody's thought came to your mind. As you went, the person is coming. He's telling you, that's what opens your spirit. So if you want to fulfill purpose, fasting will become your weekly menu. I tell people, it makes me light in the spirit. For some, it's worship. As you are hearing those songs and the incense are rising, it's drawing your soul. It's drawing your soul. And when you are done listening to those songs, your mind opens. Inspiration. Everything happening, you can pick it clearly. Some of you, it's long hour prayer. When you have prayed, and I'm not talking casual, intense. If you are blasted like that for 3 hours, it's like the Holy Ghost stands up inside you. If you want to fulfill purpose, see, if you go anywhere and they say, why are you praying too much? Carry your Bible and run like this. Your purpose is about to die. Because that's what opens you up. And if that thing shuts down, you are finished. You become like a blind man in a noisy world. You'll be doing like this. Don't live like that. Build your sensitivity. And for some, it's generosity. That's why if you study prophets, you will hardly find a stingy prophet. It's a secret. I just gave you code. Those of you who are prophetic, if you flow in that thing, it just there's a way that compassion opens the gates of your senses. Build sensitivity if you want to fulfill purpose. Number 5, courage and boldness. If you are a mediocre, you don't need this. But if you are going somewhere, men will fight you. Systems will fight you. Spirits will fight you. Circumstances will fight you. You see, that's why Jesus was both a lamb and a lion. If you are only a lamb, you will not resurrect that. You need boldness. See, you don't know the manipulations of destiny. Because you sang, because you preached, and the power of God moved. You are not arrogant. For those of you who are arrogant, God will break you. But I'm not saying you are arrogant. But because you operated the way nobody has operated before. The next thing you start hearing after 1 week. Why does he always walk and pocket his hand? That boy is arrogant. Nobody knew you were arrogant until the day you manifested. How come? Why did everybody suddenly discover that you are arrogant? It's maliciousness. And then you know the problem. Those who have the ear of the king, most times they are the ones threatened first. Because in their calculation, if the king takes interest in you, they will lose their place. So they raise opposition against you. That's why somebody will come to church and be moving like this. Oh, the Holy Spirit. And then he will say, there's somebody this time. God is saying, I want to use you. But you must be patient. You must calm down. Then the whole church will now start praying for you. Oh, we said it. May God help him. You will feel the whole energy. You will feel like you are naked. If you are not careful, you go and tell God, I don't want again. Never said that. Never. The righteous is as bold as a lion. Stand your ground. You know the apostles, when they started moving in power, you go read Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Peter preached. Verse 37, their hearts were pricked. Verse 41, 3,000 were saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 4, 4,000 were saved. Acts chapter 3, verse 6, a lame man walked. Guess what happened? Acts 4, from 11 to 15, the Sanhedrin showed up and flogged them never to preach in the name of Jesus. If you are the one, you say, I beg go. If this is how this matter is, Lord, I will serve you in privacy and quietly. I will pray for those you want to help. You have buried yourself. The Bible said they returned to their company. And when they came there, they said, why do they hid in rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. It said the kings of the earth have taken counsel against your son. And they started quoting scriptures and praying. When they finished, they said, grant unto thy servants that with boldness they might preach the gospel with boldness. And the Bible said in verse 31, Acts chapter 4, the place where they were was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with boldness. Guess what? Verse 33, the Bible said, and with great power. With great power. They bore witness to the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them. You will never enter great grace if you don't have boldness. You will never see great power if you don't have boldness. Listen, you need to be discerning and bold. There are those who advise you. It's not advice. They want to break your spirit. Somebody calls you. He doesn't recognize what God is doing with you. He just condemns everything. So that next time you don't have the audacity of the spirit. Somebody comes to the altar. He finds you doing something wrong. He never spoke to you about it. Then when he stands here, he starts telling you that if you are not careful, you'll be destroyed. That's fear. That's insecurity. Somebody sees you doing something wrong. He didn't tell you. When you are now with your boss, he now calls you and says, what did you say the last time? So that all your chances are shut down. Believe me, men will fight you. Circumstances will fight you.
Systems will fight you. Demons will fight you. If you don't have the heart of a lion, you will never fulfill destiny. I know the warfare God gang up. I know the battle God attrition. There are some you will fight for 5 years. Stand your ground like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. So long as your motive is pure, so long as you are not being proud and arrogant, stand your ground. Look at David. Saul was hunting him to kill him. He didn't fight. He didn't attack Saul. But he refused to back down. The other time he went and cut Saul's garment. The Bible says he smote his heart that he did it. And he asked God for mercy. In the morning he cut Saul from a distance. Look at your garment. If I wanted to kill you, I would have killed you. In fact, Abishai told him, I won't hit him twice. I will strike once, he will die. David said, no, you can't touch the Lord's anointed and go guiltless. But the next day, David stood before him. What have I done to you, sir? Leave me alone. Let me fulfill destiny. You need audacity. I'm telling you. Otherwise, they will choke you from inside. You will never rise again. I prophesy over someone. The grace, the spirit, the mantle, the power for boldness. Let it rest upon you now. Joshua 1 verse 9. This was all God told Joshua. Be strong and be of good courage. You can't fulfill purpose if you are not strong and of good courage. What did they see in the apostles? Acts 4:13. When they saw their boldness. See, let men see your boldness. Only make sure you are not arrogant, but refuse to be timid. Why do you think many of us in Africa here hardly manifest? And even if we do, it's late. Because the culture, the policies, the talk, the energy is always contrary to those who rise. Nobody cares if you are mediocre. But the moment you rise, that's when they know you are a woman. That's when they know you are young. That's when they know you are black. When you understand that people's motives are wrong, put it aside. I know how they use prophecy to manipulate people. I know how they use gang up to shut people down. I taught all. I'm still here, sir. To be bold, develop two things. Number one, prayer. Because when everybody talks, God is the one that vets it, whether it's true or wrong. If they are right, God will convict you. But if they are wrong, God will pat you and say, keep firing. Sometimes he even gives you an encounter. And then number two, if you want to be bold, don't wait for anybody to talk you up. Don't wait for anybody to encourage you. Don't wait for anybody to talk you strong. See, gather words. Develop some dangerous syllables for yourself. My wife will tell you. Sometimes I walk towards her. I said, this man you are seeing is a gallant man. You talk things that. I was wrong with you. Sometimes I show up, I tell her, God, we are so slow. There's much to do. And then I said, the nations are waiting. The earth is my platform. You are talking things. Why do you think some of those verses are in scripture? It's for you to catch them and run with them. He said, don't be afraid of them. They will fall for your sake. Be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Little children, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why are those scriptures there? It's to stir you to boldness. Because if you wait for somebody to encourage you, 90% will tear you down. Even family members in our current world are jealous of their biological relatives. You think you are waiting for somebody to come and say you did well. The day you do well, that's when malice will begin. That's when backbiting will begin. That's when lying will begin. That's when gang up will begin. So if you don't have the audacity then don't pray for purpose. If it's purpose, you need to develop a skin thicker than the elephant, because they will shoot arrows. But when it comes, knock it off. Now, I don't even respond to many people, because there are people who want to even take a fight with you to feel relevant. So they write on printable things about you. They accuse you, hoping that you will talk about it so that you will start fighting. Then they will say you are equals. Leave them. Don't respond to everybody. Ignore them, sir. Guess what? If you make real impact, God will raise an army to fight for you. You will not even be aware. Do you feel something stirring inside you? Can you ventilate it with a shout? Come on! Let them gather, they will scatter. He said they should gather, they will scatter. He said their counsel will come to naught. He said for your sake they will fall. And in every tongue that rises against you, in judgment you will condemn.
When I leave this world, I will go in
where I can my prayer.
I can my prayer.
I can my prayer.
I pray.
Oh, when I leave this world,
when I leave this world, I will go in where
I can my prayer.
I can my prayer.
I can my prayer.
I pray.
Oh, when I leave this world. You will break up. There was a time when some WhatsApp chats were flying everywhere. What was the chat? They say, I will die in 2 years. That they have seen it in the realm. That is 2 years. When I looked at it, I did like this. I didn't pray. Die where? Die where? Meanwhile, because some people saw it, they started panicking. They will, those who love me, they will sleep and have a dream. Hey, we saw you. They shot the dagger on your chest. I said, it's not me, I'm here. I was not in your dreams. I'm right here, resting in my house. Sir, more than 4 years have passed, and we have not started. You know what I told myself? When I saw those messages, I said, it's when I am 70 that I will start responding. Die where? Then I will now go and start praying, because somebody is bitter. Somebody feels insecure or jealous and gives a prophecy from presumption. And then it will change my prayer topic. We are thinking nations. We are thinking nations. We are thinking joy of many generations. That's not part of my prayer point. And people won't give me prayer points. Demons won't give me prayer points. I download what to pray. Before they will gang up. Sometimes when you look at them, you will literally be like grasshopper. Don't be afraid. You know why? It is God that walketh in you. They are just they are not just aware. They thought you were intelligent. No. What they have seen is the finger of God. It's God that walketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. That's why he backs you up. Don't be arrogant, but don't keep quiet when your destiny is being decided. That's what Dr. Paul taught us. Be bold. You think men rise by chance? You think men rise by luck? Only warriors make it to the top. Only warriors. Only warriors make it to the top. Sit down. When I talk this thing, sometimes
You are
the
Lord.
bold.
Some of you, an elder called you from the village and said, be careful. And then you start paralyzing. Talking things that open door to Satan. Careful for what? What do you owe them? Careful for what? The Bible says, be careful for nothing. In all things, by prayer and supplication. Careful for what? They gang up in the village. After they cook all their evil, they now send you a message. Say, the whole family have said, send what? You think we just have earthly family? We are also part of heavenly families. If you mess up, I cut you off. What kind of wickedness is that? People who are from extended families, their children are not doing well. They feel it's a crime for you to do well. And they come with all kind of maliciousness. Don't give them a chance for a second. If you fear, you die. Telling you, stand your ground in faith. As we round up, sit down. Number 8. You want to fulfill purpose? You need favor and grace. How did Esther make it? Esther 2:17. She found what? Favor. She found grace. How did Noah make it? He found favor. Genesis 6 verse 5. You can't fulfill purpose without favor. If you are honest, if you check your life, you will find many gaps that you can't account for. Only favor and grace covers for it. Gaps created by your mistakes that should attract judgment, but judgment passed you over. Gaps from your errors, inefficacies that should have made you fail, that suddenly were forgotten. Gaps arising from even your misdemeanors, from character defects. And then you are wondering, how did you end up as you are? Some of you even wrote yourself off, yet you made it. And you are still making it. Everyone needs favor. As mighty as David was, David walked in 7 anointings. He was a king. He was a warrior. He was a poet. He was a psalmist. He was a prophet. He was a teacher. And he was also a son. 7 dimensions of grace. But at the end of the day, he needed favor to be King David. God gave him so much favor. The Bible said daily men joined David until his host became like the host of God. Because of the favor of God. That's why I tell people, there are 4 prayers that you must always pray. Number 1, Lord have mercy. Number 2, Lord help me. Number 3, Lord let your will be done. And number 4, Lord thank you. These ones make up for the gaps that you can't explain. That's the secret of mighty men. Even in the secular world, they will tell you. I was listening to Elon Musk. And he said there was a time when he was caught in between 2 choices. Tesla was young, and the electric project too, what's the name now, was young. And all he had, I think he said 200 million or so. And they told him, the best he can get is to channel the whole money into one and forfeit the other company. Otherwise, both will crash. He said, but when he thought about it, you know, he said a company is like a child. He couldn't watch what he had built just go like that. So he refused. At the end of the day, all of them did well. He can't explain how. Because even the people in the world, there is a residual grace of God that helps them. He said the sun, the rain, fall both on the good and the evil. That's why he said, tell them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded or trusting on certain riches, but in the living God that giveth to every man liberally that he may enjoy. There is a residual grace. And for those of us who are in the kingdom, we acknowledge it so that we walk in it. And then finally, you want to fulfill purpose? There must be faith and conviction in your heart. Faith and conviction. If you lose conviction in what God is doing with you, nobody will believe you. You are the first to believe in that project. You don't believe what God is doing with you. You want your world to believe it. That's a joke. The Bible said, concerning conviction and faith, Hebrews 11:3, it said, by it, the elders obtained a good report. By it. That's why four times in scriptures, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. Romans 1:17. Galatians 3:11. Hebrews 10:38. The just live by faith. You can't function in this realm without convictions. You'll be like a chaff. The chaff before the wind. Every man of purpose is rooted in conviction. A billionaire once lost $2 billion. And that same evening he was playing golf. And they asked him, how are you able to do this? He said, I made the money. The money didn't make me. So long as I'm alive, I will make it again. This is assurance. Some of us have lost conviction. That's why we are looking for everybody to either validate us or encourage us. When David, Pastor Godwin, was teaching us on Sunday, he went to fight and the enemy came and took wives and children. The Bible said his mighty men wanted to stone him. Imagine if all these my guys here gang up against me and say, get out of this ministry. Meanwhile, in the wealthy world, it happened. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. I was here before they came. The vision is the first thing that stayed with me. If it is there, every other thing can come again. And guess what? After he consulted with the priest and they checked the Urim and the Thummim, God told him to go to overtake and to recover all. The moment conviction rose up, those same men that wanted to stone him followed him. So people don't follow your faith, they follow your conviction. We are talking uncertainty, talking fear. Who will risk his life? See the way this guy talk. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See the description. I fear no evil. For thou art with me. That's the man you want to follow. If even in the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table for me. He believes this thing so much that even the valley of the shadow of death can't shake him. Even when the enemies gather, David can dine and wine. No wonder he fought 66 battles. He didn't lose one. When there is war, those days, kings go to war. So it's not he's hiding, people are fighting. They are the ones that lead battles. That's why I say war to you. If you are at ease when kings go to war. You don't have conviction, how can you do it? Even Saul went to war. You know how they describe him? They said Saul and Jonathan, they were swift like eagles. They were swift like eagles. When they were in the battlefield, they moved like eagles. And when they died, guess what David did? Cursed be the mountains of Gibeah. The guy believed what he carried so much that he knew that even nature would fight for him. He said, how come you stood still in the day that the Lord anointed fell? He said, how did Paul fall as though he was not anointed? He said, this day is evil. He said, tell it not in God. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Let the daughters of the Philistines be glad and the daughters of the uncircumcised rejoice. He tore his garment and wept from morning to night. How did this man fall as though there was no oil on his head? Conviction, sir. Meanwhile, you are there. You say, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. No. The path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. We know what will happen tomorrow. Tomorrow will be better than today. Conviction, sir. You find people who say they want to take their word, talking like they are sheep. Meanwhile, there are hyenas out there. What do you think is the strength of a lion? He's built for war, but the power of a lion is boldness. One lioness can confront 10 hyenas. When he roars, they know the king of the jungle has come. You don't have conviction, you want to fulfill purpose? How will that happen? When you rise up in your house, lift your hands toward heaven and say, the light of the world has risen. Because when he left there, he made you alive. When you are entering the territory, when you step into the border, tell the demons, I have come. Light has come.
Deliverance has come. Kingdom has come. That's you roaring. Because the way we take territories is by roaring. The lion roars. Oh, he wakes up and he stretches. Oh my God. He said the righteous is as bold as a lion. Pehito, Pakis, Kota, Takapira Kayo, Sharwata. Hey! 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 You can't fail. He said the part of the jaw is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. He said, whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. You are not part of those who fail. There's something on your inside. You, everything that was written concerning you before the world began, you won't live here until you have fulfilled all. You will live old, but you will not just live old, you will live here when you are finished. Like Jesus, you will say, it is finished. Like Paul, you will say, I have finished my course. I prophesy over you. Everything that the breath of God installed in your spirit, I come to you by grace. I come to you by the office of a priest and an apostle. I come to you as one sent to a generation by the spirit of the living God. Arise and shine. I say arise and shine. Arise and shine. Let your light shine before men. They will see your glory. They will give glory to your heavenly Father. Anything blocking your destiny, I command them to scatter. I command them to scatter. The anointing for lifting. He said, you have anointed my head with fresh oil. You have exalted my horn like the horn of the unicorn. I prophesy over you. Your horn is exalted now. Your horn is exalted now. Your horn is exalted now. The Bible says, he returned in the power of the Spirit, and his faith went abroad. I proclaim over you, let your faith spread abroad. He said he came, and the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness, they have seen a great light. You have become a light in darkness. In the name of Jesus Christ. Of you that are fighting the siege of Gangor, this is God's word for you. They will fall for your sake. This is God's word for you. They will scatter for your sake. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands here. Somebody's horn is about to be exhausted. I just heard it in the spirit. The gates of nations are opening. Somebody's voice is about to be amplified. Ushers, help me now. This is at 5 seconds. The wind of the spirit. Wherever you are standing, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to those connected online, I speak over you by the help that I have received. Receive that grace. Receive that empowerment. Let that oil be stirred up now. Tear that fire. Let that garment come upon you like the cloak and the mantle of the prophets of old. I decree and declare, take it in the name of Jesus. Also, help them for me. Help them for me. There are about four of them. He sent his word to Jacob, enlightened upon Israel. I saw one, but it's multiplying. My goodness, Katoria Taka, Sehila Takona, Pasetarita. Let those gates open for you. I decree a pata. Let it open. Let it open. Mantoriata, Deva Kaparino, Tapatida, Salapaya. A little one shall become a thousand. A strong one shall become a great nation. Help them, usher. Bring them here. Place this mantle on them for me. Your life is about to change. You'll walk out of here under an open heaven. Mantoriate. Your voice will be heard. Your altar will raise incense to the heaven. He said the prayers of the saints are sent to heaven as odor. They are stored in golden vials. Your incense arises. Heaven take note of you. Every calamity, every reproach, the effect of wrong decisions that has taken you back, I decree the reproach is thrown away. Come up hither. Come up hither. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. And this also, calling, giftings that went dormant. Prophetic gifting, apostolic gifting, blessing for leadership that went dormant, they have been activated. Whenever you are standing, a fresh fire, I speak an awakening.
Let it go, let it go. Oh, let it go, let it be right now.
Elohim Madonna. Your family, you have been ravaged with death. And as I speak now, the spirit of death is haunting you. Wherever you are standing, I stretch my hands over you by the priesthood of Melchizedek, the priesthood of the endless life. Right now, let the grace, the power of resurrection, let it come upon you from the crown of your head to the throne of your feet. I rebuke death. Change that grace for life.
My grace, let your glory fall. My fire, like grace, let it fall.
My fire, like grace,
let your glory fall.
My fire.
Keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you.
The Lord lift up his countenance over you, and the Lord give you peace. Your steps are ordered by the Lord, and your going out and coming in is blessed. Every garment of reproach you have carried till now, they are burnt off from you this second in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Please hear me. Some of you, as you go home tonight, spend some time to pray. A window has opened for you in the spirit. People have been brought out of affliction, reproach, so that they can live their destiny. Everyone under the sound of my voice on ground and online, and everyone who will come to hear this message, you will not fail. In Jesus' mighty name.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.